good to be together today. It's good to be the church today and to be able to gather and sing and pray and to be in the presence of a God who knows us and loves us, knows us by name. We spoke last week about what it means to be healed, and we're going to take a look at that again this week. Last week was John chapter 4. Today is John chapter 5, and we're going to pray before we do that. I am excited about next week, and hopefully you sign up for barbecue. If you don't sign up in advance, you're in the back of the line, and I don't know what's going to happen if you don't. But we'll gather together next week and worship together and be together as a whole church family, both services, both campuses. It's just going to be a fun day. You can wear your shorts. The weather is going to be perfect. I know it. And we're going to celebrate together. We're going to worship together. We're going to do the things we do as a church. We're going to come together around the scripture, and we're going to love on each other. And it's just going to be a good day. Let's pray before we open the word today. God, this is your word. You've given it to us, and it's a rock. It's a rock on which we can stand and we can plan our lives. And so today, would you give us clarity about your word? Help us to understand and help us to see it. Not just, God, we don't want it just to be head games, though. We don't want it just to be something that we learn with our minds, not just knowledge. But God, help us to see how to actually implement it. And then a step even beyond that, not just see how to implement it, but actually take the steps of putting it into place. Would you help us do that? We pray this in your name. Amen. Many of you know, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I sent our oldest kid off to college, and we went to move him in. And he went out a week early. He did a hiking trip out in the mountains as part of the orientation. Seems really, really cool. It rained on him for like 4 days or something, and it was a little bit soggy, you know. And then Cammie and I went to move him into the dorm. And we got there, you know, with great expectations. That's what I learned about, you know, this parenting gig as you send these kids off. Great. We've seen all of our friends on Facebook and other Insta, Snapchats and things taking pictures of the dorm rooms that they put together, you know, and empty dorm room and then a beautiful dorm room, all that stuff. And we got there, and he had been there a couple days before us. And we got to his room, and he was sleeping in a wet sleeping bag. It had been wet for I don't know how long. And it was just on the bed with no sheets, just a wet, nasty sleeping bag. And he was like 2-3 days in. I don't even know. And he had his wet backpack laying there on the floor, and clothes and things were just growing out of it. And his roommate was the same way, two of them. It was a smelly room, you know, and just sleeping there on the wet, soggy thing. And we were like, okay, you know, we kind of held our breath, and we're like, all right, we can fix this, you know, as parents. And we came in, and we were like, we bought you some sheets. We're going to put some sheets on the bed. And he goes, no, I kind of like this. What? That's nasty, you know. No, this is fine, just like this. It's fine, just like this. We were like, dude, you got to put – I had to pull him aside and be like, hey, man. Your mama came to set up your room, and that's what's going to happen here, right? This is what we're going to do. We're not just going to have a nasty room. I was like, she's got pictures of all her friends, and we're going to get some pictures. You know, we're gonna do that. So you get all together here. Anyhow, he just wanted a soggy, nasty old sleeping bag because he liked it. It worked, you know? He didn't want to change anything. He was comfortable right there. Sometimes I think we get comfortable right in the middle of our mess. It's just okay. We're already there, you know? At least we know the mess. That's the passage we're going to look at today. Jesus talks to someone who's been in his brokenness for a really long time. This is John chapter 5. If you have a Bible, turn there with me. You can pull it up on your phone or follow along on the screens. John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. Now, we're going to read more of that story in just a minute, but I want to pause there and just give you a little background of what's going on. There are some different pools in Jerusalem that were kind of known places. Some of them were springs. This one was found actually a while ago by archaeologists, what they thought might be Bethesda, but they weren't sure. And then just recently, those five colonnades that the scripture talks about were actually uncovered, and there they were. And they were like, oh, this is the pool that they were talking about. And it was a pool, it was sort of a series, a higher pool and a lower pool. And then right behind that was one of Herod, he's the wealthy builder, Herod the Great, the king of the day, there lived right above that. And the pools were actually part of a water system which fed water to his palace. And occasionally, the way that they filled that water system up, the water would stir, and it felt like, it seemed like for no reason. The water would just all of a sudden start stirring. That became, at that time, a really popular place for healing. And it wasn't just for the people of Israel. It was really for everybody. In fact, one of the things that they uncovered was a little temple to the god of healing. Those we find all through the ancient world. There are like over 400 of them in the ancient Roman world that were around anywhere that there was sort of a spring or water kind of naturally bubbling up. They would put one of these little temples. It wasn't Jewish at all. It was a pagan one. And it was just this area that was known for healing. Now, we have ancient commentary that is tells us a little bit of the story that the Hebrew people thought that maybe an angel stirred the water. And the legend was the first person that would get into the water would be healed. So the water would stir, and if you were first in, you were probably going to be healed. Very, very popular. A lot of people believed that this would do it. It was almost, I don't know if it, you know, sort of magical or, you know, sort of almost like good luck or something, but this was going to bring healing, and it was going to bring hope. And Jesus comes up to this pool, and he sees this man, and he learns he's been there for 38 years. And he asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the response isn't, I mean, I don't know what you would expect as a response. I mean, you might say, "Yes, of course I want to be healed," and be enthusiastic about that. Dude, I mean, I'm here, aren't I? You know, of course I would want to be healed, you know. Or maybe he would say, "No, I don't really want to be healed." He doesn't really do any of that. He launches into an explanation of why he's there. That's what he does. He just kind of goes into this story. Well, here's why I'm here. Every time the thing stirs, I can't get down there fast enough. Somebody else gets in front of me. And it's an interesting story. As I was reading that, I was like, okay, is he just making excuses? Like, what's happening? And this week, a part of my research, I came across a guy named Kevin Chandler. Kevin Chandler, he runs an organization, a nonprofit organization called We Carry Kevin. And there were two Bible scholars, and they were interviewing Kevin about this passage. And he has a unique perspective on this passage. In Kevin's writing and in this interview conversation, he talks with a different point of view because, see, Kevin has spinal muscular atrophy, meaning he's been in a wheelchair all of his life. And part of his story in this really incredible nonprofit is to, he's been sort of an adventurer. He's gone on adventures around the world. He's figured out ways to do this, lived this kind of adventurous life. And that's part of his story in his nonprofit is to help others to do that, to live an adventurous life. And yet he's sort of bound to a wheelchair. His perspective, though, was fascinating to me because it was a different angle on this scripture. So what do you think about it, Kevin? And he said, You know, when I hear him launch into that story, it reminds me that, you know, I kind of have a little story, just a quick one that I know how to tell. I tell it from memory because he says, you don't know how many times a day I'm sort of asked in one way or another, how did I end up in this wheelchair, right? And he said, you just kind of get a story and you just kind of explain it really quickly. This is how I ended up here. This is sort of who I am. It's his little short story of who he is and how he ended up there. And he goes, when I read this story, Jesus comes up to him out of nowhere. We'll learn later that he doesn't know who Jesus is. He doesn't know that Jesus heals. He doesn't know that Jesus is Messiah. He doesn't know really anything about Jesus, just another person. And as Jesus comes up and asks him, it seems like he just launches into this story. Well, this is how I got here. This is who I am. That was his answer to the question, do you want to be healed? It's almost as if he could not imagine being healed. Like, he couldn't even picture it. 38 years, you know? I mean, there was a time, I'm sure, when he first got there that he was very hopeful. The first few days that he was there, he was like, I'm going to get in this pool first, and I'm going to find healing. I am going to get there. And maybe the first few weeks it went by, he was like, I'm surely going to be healed. I'm going to make this happen. This is going to be my healing, my place. But as time went on, week after week, and then it becomes month after month, and then it becomes year after year, when he finally asks the question, do you want to be healed? He just tells the story. It's like his whole picture of who he is. It's almost like he's lost that sense that maybe healing is even possible. In fact, he's taken this disability as his own story. It becomes just who he is. It's how he's identified. In fact, in the scripture, he's not given a name. Did you notice that? We don't know what his name is. They just call him the invalid. That's the name that they've given him. And that's how he's known. And that becomes his identifying marker. I don't know that he wants to be healed or doesn't want to be healed. The brokenness is just him. It's just who he is. Now, there are two great reversals that happen in this passage. And we're going to look at both of them. Two incredible turnarounds. The first one, to really understand it, I want to read a little bit more of that passage. So let's pick it back up. I'm actually going to pick us up in verse 8 and then go forward. Verse 8 says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day on which this took place was Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. He replied, it's not my fault, man. That guy told me to do it. So they asked him, who is this fellow that told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd and the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple, and he said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. All kind of tension comes up in this passage. There's tension there about following the law or not. They've got like a technicality. You picked up your mat, and there's all kind of Bible nerd stuff that's really, really interesting about why a mat would have been important. But this morning, that's not going to be our focus. And there was tension around Jesus. The Gospel of John is this unveiling of who Jesus is, and it happens slowly throughout the whole gospel. And the people of Israel start to see, oh, this guy is the Messiah. But the religious leaders of the day was seen as blasphemy to them, and it eventually leads to Jesus going to the cross. And we see that tension starting to pick up right here in this passage. And that's an important part of this. So I want you to go back and look at that and study. But that's not what I want us to pay attention to this morning. This morning, I want you to pay attention to the names that he was given, right? He was first called the invalid. But then later, he's given a different name. The man who was healed. That was what comes up in in verse 10. When he gets to the temple, when the guys are asking him, why are you carrying your mat? They don't call him the invalid. They don't call him the invalid. They call him the man who was healed. You know, there's some debate and discussion within the disabled community about what's the best way to address someone. And it can get tricky and prickly and, you know, all kinds of things. But do you say that's a person with disability or a disabled person? And I know it gets, you know, technical, but it was just interesting because in this interview that I listened to, they spoke to Kevin about, they said, what do you think about this? And his response was, you know, I try not to get too offended. You know, it's about people's heart and their intention, and we can get all tripped up into things like this. And so I try to give a lot of grace on that. But then he said, but when somebody thinks about me, so I would hope they would think about me as a person, and then, yeah, that I have a disability. He said, because the disability isn't my whole story. It's not all of there is to me. It's just a part of my story. It's just sort of a part of what's happened to me. So I would hope they would think of me as a person. And as he said that, then he began to talk about this passage. And, you know, if you look at this, it's just incredible. He started with this name, the invalid. That was his identity. It was how he was identified. But Jesus heals him, and as he heals him, he not only heals him physically, he actually gives him a different identity. Suddenly, he's called the man who was healed. He's given personhood. He's a son of the living God. These are sons and daughters of God. He's a person who was healed. It's a new day. It's a new identity. Everything is new. This is incredible. It's unbelievable grace. He gives him, in a sense, a new name, a new him. But then you start thinking about that, and I just got to wondering, did he really want that? Like, did he even, you know, sign up for that? Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And his answer was just to tell the story of how he got there. And he had been there for 38 years. Guys, if you do anything for 38 years, you know, you build some patterns into your life, you know? I mean, for 38 years, he had been sitting there on the side of this pool, and I don't know if he was brought in every day or he camped out there, but I'm sure he had his own little space, you know? If somebody else tried to get in his spot, somebody would be like, no, that's Bill's space, right? There had to be a little community of people that got to know each other, and he was there every day interacting with folks and talking, and it had become his little world. And even though it was a broken world, and even though it was a difficult world, it was sort of his world. He was comfortable right there. Jesus gives him a healing he couldn't even imagine, changes his identity, makes him a whole person where he had been just about his disability. I mean, this is incredible. But the question started lingering in my own mind, because it's like, well, do you want to be healed? And sure, there are some things that I would say, right, I mean, yes to, of course. Yeah, I want to be healed from that. I mean, yeah, that makes sense, right? I'd love to be healed from that. But there are other things that have hung with me for so long. I mean, I wouldn't even think to ask. They've just kind of become part of who I am. Do you want to be healed? See, there are these areas in our life that we don't even remember to pray for. Last week, we talked about a man that came to Jesus, and he was desperate. He had a son that was in need, and Jesus was his only hope of his son's survival, and he came with all of his desperation. And we said, sometimes we try to hold back that desperation. We try to hold back that need, but he didn't. He came to Jesus with all of his need. And in this stories of healing, we could come to God with all of our need. And we heard that he came to God with all of his need. And Jesus didn't respond the way that maybe he expected Jesus to respond, but he hung in there with Jesus. And then Jesus sent him out in faith, and he took Jesus at his word. That's what the scripture says, and he went in faith. And it was an incredible story of healing. He comes with all this need, but in this story, this guy doesn't come with desperation. He doesn't have desperation anymore. It's not even part of it. It's just what he does. He's been walking with that limp for 30 years, right? He's been dealing with that relationship for 38 years. He's been had that trouble with what goes on at work for 38 years. He just doesn't even pray for it anymore. And I wonder about me. Like those places in my life that I've just gotten comfortable with the brokenness. And, you know, some of us in this room, we have stuff in our past and we carry it with us. There was a time when we wanted to be healed from it, but now we're just, well, that's what my past was, so that's the way I act, right? That's just the way I do things because I have that kind of past. Some of us, we've had some broken relationships, but after 38 years, we just go, you know, I'm just not good at relationships. I mean, that's just what it is, so I don't have those kind of relationships. We allow it to define us and become part of our identity. We don't pray for it. We don't ask for it. And yet Jesus still steps in and says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? He offers new life, healing in places that we can't even imagine. Not the places where we feel desperate, but the places that we've forgotten about, the places that have calloused over, the places we can't even see anymore. Now, I've told you there are two reversals. The first is he reverses how he's identified. He gives him a new identity. Well, the second comes, and kind of the ending part of the story, right? This guy is healed, and he's talking to the temple priests, and then he shows up in the temple, and Jesus finds him there. Jesus shows up and sees him. And I would imagine, you know, if I was Jesus, right, I'd come in with my entourage. I'd be like, yeah, it's been a great day. There's the guy healed. What's up, man? Don't you feel great? Doesn't he look great? Doesn't he look great, guys, right? I healed him. He's doing great. Jesus comes up to him and says, stop sinning. That's what you need to do. So I was like, oh, man, that's not really what I expected Jesus to say. But Jesus comes up. He sees him. He says, you've been healed. You've been given this gift. Now stop sinning. This is the reversal of the way we think about the world. He thought about the world the way most of us do, and that is, I've got to do something. I've got to do something to earn God's grace or forgiveness, or I got to do something to earn God's healing, or I got to do something to earn God's blessing. I have to make something happen. If I want something to happen in my life, I got to make it happen. And so he showed up at the pool every day because he knew if you go to that pool and the water starts bubbling and you jump in and you get there first, you got to elbow some other people, but if you get there first, right, you get healed. And so if he did something about it, then he would find blessing. And that's the way our logic often works. We think this way, but the gospel turns that logic upside down. The gospel is a great reversal. The gospel says you're given grace. You're beloved. You are, the gospel says you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You were created with an incredible future and a gift and a calling. And the gospel says, here's the grace. Now live into that. The gospel is a calling to live and become a new person and live a new way, to follow Christ's way with our behaviors and our mindsets. It's a calling to change the way we live, but it's a calling out of grace, not in order to earn grace, but it's out of grace. See, he sees this man, he says, you're healed. Now live into that. You become a person. You were just a brokenness. Now you're a person. You have an identity. Now live into that identity. You've been given grace. Now live a new way. He sees him, and he gives him purpose and a calling and a hope. Last week, we talked about how God is still God, as a God who still heals, a God who knows us, a God who longs to see our lives put back together. He's a God who sees us in our desperation. But I want you to know he's also a God who sees us in our apathy. He's a God who sees us in our comfortableness. He's a God who sees us in the ruts that we have dug for ourselves. And he says, he looks at us, and even in that place, that rut, he asks you this question: do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And he'll give you new life, new healing, and he'll call you out of the rut to live a new way. This is the hope of the gospel. It's the calling of the gospel. Would you pray with me? God, I don't even notice so many of the places in my life that are broken. God, there's spots where I walk with a limp and I just don't even see it. And there are other spots where I can't even stand. But it just seems normal to me. It's just who I am and what I do. Would you change that? Would you ask a question that gives me new perspective? Do I want to be healed? And Father, would you heal us? Because we need healing. I need healing in my life. We need healing in each of our lives, God. We need healing in our church. Would you heal us? And would you call us to a new way, a new life? We pray all of these things in your holy name.